This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, you're listening to Film Talks On Air. I'm your host, Jane Ross. Joining me today for this episode is Annie Goldson. Kia ora, Annie.
Kia ora, Jane. Nice to talk to you.
Wonderful to be talking to you. I'm particularly excited to be welcoming you very soon back to the Wairarapa for the Te Waiwhakaata Wairarapa Film Festival this year. You're a headliner.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Well, the good people here in the Wairarapa are really looking forward to it as well, and I understand that you have early connections to the Wairarapa.
I do indeed. I was a cub reporter for Radio New Zealand in Masterton. Gosh, it must have been in the late 70s. When at that point they used to farm out cub reporters to regional New Zealand as a kind of training ground. So I ended up in Masterton and had a great time there, I have to say.
How wonderful. I actually have a feeling that I might be in the very building that perhaps you were broadcasting out of. This is known as Radio House here in Church Street.
Maybe. Look, it's got a bit lost in the mists of time, I have to say, but it could well be.
Well, look, you've actually got more connections to the Wairarapa than that, those early days. You actually came back here to make a specific documentary.
I did indeed. After working as a cub reporter, I then went off to New York for quite a long time, 13, 14 years.
Wow.
And when I returned to New Zealand, something that struck me as absolutely wonderful was Georgina Beyer, or someone who struck me was Georgina Beyer, because I was really impressed that regional New Zealand embraced Georgina and Georgina embraced the community. That was not going to happen in the US in my experience. So I thought she was an extraordinary figure, kind of taken for granted, but very charismatic with this dramatic history, a real rags to riches kind of story. So yes, it must have been about, because the film came out, I think, in 2002. So I'd have been filming it probably 2001, around about that time, 2000, 2001. So, yes, we spent a lot of time in Carterton, which was fun.
How fabulous.
I was working with Peter Wells, an author who sadly has passed away since, as has Georgina, of course. But no, it was fun. It was fun. And Georgina was so busy, though, it was quite hard to pin her down. So I would liaise with her, the woman in her office, and I would get her daily diary, which was everything from, you know, heading the Pride Parade in Wellington to overseeing the Golden Shears, you know, or ending up subcommittee meetings. So, you know, an extraordinary range of abilities that she had.
She was incredible. She was incredibly loved here in the community, and rightly so, because of the way that she did give back to the community that welcomed her here with open arms. An extraordinary story that you've actually captured beautifully in Georgie Girl.
Oh, well, good, yes. And I hope there's some familiar faces in the crowd who I filmed at the time. We interviewed a lot of people, including Georgina's landlady, who adored her. I've forgotten what her name is, but she's probably passed on now. She was quite elderly when I filmed then, but she was a big fan.
Wow. Well, there are a lot of familiar faces in that film because I have watched it back and I was quite taken aback with all the people that I recognise and the good people and also like, the amazing landscape of Carterton and the surrounding landscape as well. It's so beautifully captured, and in fact it is its 25th anniversary this year, so even more reason to celebrate.
Indeed.
And Georgina, of course, was the mayor of Carterton. She was a councillor and mayor of Carterton and really loved in that capacity as well. And I've just made a little documentary about another former mayor of Carterton, Greg Lang. So we've paired it together and I've called it the Carterton Collection. And it's an open invitation for the community to come and celebrate.
Well, that would be wonderful. Yeah, what a good idea.
Yeah. And then I kind of feel like you must have uncovered, while you were looking into Georgina's backstory, of course she was a cabaret performer at the balcony. And mm-hmm. then I understand that the documentary Red Mole is also kind of connected to that story as well.
It is indeed. So Red Mole is a much more recent film of mine, and I think I finished it in 2023. And it was kind of a labour of love. I produced, directed, edited, did sound, because it's quite difficult to raise money for those kinds of topics. It was Red Mole was a sort of avant-garde theatre troupe that some people might remember, but they're actually pre-internet, so there's not a lot of information about them really online. But at their peak, and they had peaks and troughs, but at their peak, they were performing at the balcony, which was owned by a close friend of Georgina's, and Georgina used to perform at the balcony as well. So there were interesting connections for sure.
What made you interested in telling the story of Red Mole, the theatre troupe?
Full disclosure, after my stint in Masterton as a cub reporter, I then went to Wellington, where I became a producer, or sort of a cub producer, for Morning Report and for Checkpoint. But I decided I didn't want to be part of the then civil service, so I decided to go to New York. And I was actually dating one of the dancers in Red Mole, a guy called Ian. So I just sort of jumped on the bandwagon and went off to New York with them in 1981, so a long time ago again. So our paths diverged. I was never really a theatre person. I was keen on becoming an avant-garde filmmaker at the time. So our paths kind of diverged. But I always, Red Mole was always in my heart. You know, it was a very influential chapter that I had that really did change my life. So, and I do feel the film is also a social history of New Zealand as well. They were very much a countercultural group. New Zealand was quite socially conservative at the time. You know, there was a mixture of adoration and outrage towards them.
Wow.
So it is sort of like a social history as well, I think, of New Zealand. And it's quite a personal story. There's a sort of personal thread to the film as well.
Hence, yeah. It's called Red Mole, a Romance.
Mm. There's the sort of romance that bound the two founders, but there was also the romance of theatre that really kept Red Mole working so incredibly hard. And then there was a complicated, let's say, romantic triangle at the heart of the group, and just sort of a connectedness through theatre and these very intense relationships that just propelled them on until it all fell apart. It's probably familiar to other people that work in the arts too, these kinds of...
Oh, yes. It sounds fascinating. I am so looking forward to seeing it. Now, I'm currently at Radio House, where Arrow FM broadcasts, and the station manager, Michael Wilson, is an actor, and he is connected to the people that are in Red Mole. So he was beyond excited to be involved in doing a fundraising activity with the screening of this film. So we're really so lucky. We're going to have a screening at Regent 3 Cinemas. Tickets are $25, and that includes your movie ticket, cake and coffee or tea, and of course access to you, the filmmaker, which is a really rare indeed opportunity for the audience to actually be able to engage directly with an arts laureate, a filmmaker, and in fact you're also an academic.
I am indeed. I'm a professor at the University of Auckland at the moment and have been for a long time. So yes, and I try and I write also on documentary and documentary studies. I just wrote a piece about some concerns I have about the Maricopa project, the documentary that's being made about Tom Phillips.
Oh.
I published it actually. Sadly, it was behind the paywall. I didn't, on Stuff. It's in the Evening Post. I didn't realize that Stuff Masthead and Stuff Digital were different beasts, but it's not. It's only available, I think, to those that subscribe to Stuff Masthead. So, but yeah, I mean, I was thinking about that proposed film, some of the ethical issues, and also some of the complicated relationships between a documentary filmmaker and the subjects of a film too. So, so I'm lucky. I like teaching. My students are fantastic. When I started teaching, I wasn't much older than them, but now I could be their grandmother. So that tells you how long I've been at it. But, you know, every year there's a lot of fresh faces and new ideas, new anxieties, all sorts of things that you grapple with in the classroom.
Oh, gosh, yes. I'm a former teacher as well, so I do understand what you're saying. Because of that, it has always been really important to me to provide educational opportunities as part of the film festival, and not just industry opportunities and talent development, but also available to the community and on topics that are of, you know, social relevance. So for that reason, I am delighted that you are going to be also presenting a masterclass at this year's festival. And I wanted to have an opportunity to discuss the ethics around documentary filmmaking and indeed the subject of documentary.
Yeah, well, I think when you and I chatted, I thought something called the subject of documentary, it's a good title because we can talk about the history of documentary, which, of course, the very first moving image picture was a documentary called Workers Leaving the Factory. And it's had a long and checkered and complicated history since. So I thought we could talk about some of the historical context. You know, now, of course, facing fake news and AI, has complicated further. But also I'm interested in, as I was saying earlier, the relationship between the filmmaker and the actual subject or participant, because that's a kind of complex power exchange, I think. Very often filmmakers, and, you know, documentary has had a fairly ropey history where there has been exploitation of subjects that have benefited the filmmaker. But actually also it is a more complex relationship. I think subjects often resist or refuse or walk away. You know, it's not, the power doesn't flow, in my experience, power doesn't flow in one direction. And, you know, Georgina, for example, wasn't going to be pushed around. She'd have just taken off. So it's a, you know, it's a complex dance. Sometimes akin, and so anyway, I won't go on and on. I'll save it for the workshop.
Yeah, now that workshop is happening on Saturday, the 2nd of May, 10:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. And we're using the seminar room at Aratoi, our Wairarapa Museum of Art and History, which is a fabulous venue. And all are welcome, but seats are limited. So I really strongly recommend people make their bookings for that quickly. Now, I've also grappled with, lying awake at night, having just made a documentary myself, around the responsibility that comes with helping to tell somebody else's story and wanting to do justice, and particularly when there are so many ways to tell a story. And that's one of the things as a documentarian I've had to really consciously think of on a daily basis is, what is the story that I want to tell? Mm. And being in a relationship with my subjects as well, and wanting to do the best for the story that I want to tell, and being really clear about that as well. So, and then you have all your creative people that you're working with too, like your editor and your color grader and your music composer. And of course they all have an influence on the story that's being told as well.
Indeed. I mean, documentary exercises many sides of one, in fact, sort of technical, aesthetic, research, interpersonal, you know, managing crews, money. It's always, money is always an issue.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, engaging with music and sound and the edit and meaning and knowledge and research. So it's, and, you know, it's great in that it exercises so many sides of one in a way.
Yeah. And I think for me, coming out the other side of this experience, more than anything, I feel an enormous sense of, I guess, pride is one of those things, but I'm just so happy. I'm really happy making documentaries. How do you feel?
Oof, I don't know. I mean, I tend to be in a state of minor stress the whole time, you know.
There is that, so yeah.
That would be my, you know, there's always problems to be solved, you know, be they aesthetic or be they actual. Yeah, so I do find it, I mean, I must want that level of stress because I've certainly been at it for a long time. But, you know, but there are moments of real pleasure, and one moment of pleasure is actually engaging with audiences. So I do look forward to the people, you know, the audiences you're going to gather together. So, I love that too.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I'm not sure if happiness is exactly what I would say, but certainly engagement and you know, excitement and the kind of pleasure of creativity.
I think that's it. I think that's the creativity of it as well. I'm just going to remind everyone that's listening that the full program for the festival is online, and that's at yfilmfest.co.nz, and people can buy their tickets directly on that website. You can also buy tickets to the Carterton Collection, which is my film by hand with Georgie Girl. That can be bought directly also from the Wairarapa Event Centre. And Red Mole, A Romance is also, tickets are available on the festival website, and you can also buy tickets directly from Regent 3 Cinemas. So lots of options there to make it easier for people.
It sounds very organised.
I'm really looking forward to welcoming you back to the Wairarapa. The festival actually starts next week with our schools program, and we've got different films screening and different secondary school students coming in to engage with the films and with historians and with subjects of documentaries as well. And then we have the full festival program continuing into the second week, which begins on Wednesday the 29th of April with a fundraiser of another 25th anniversary, this time Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. Lots going on. We've got some big blockbuster anniversaries happening as well.
Indeed. That sounds great.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. It's been a pleasure taking this time to chat more about what we're going to focus on with your retrospective, Annie.
Cool. No, it's been fun chatting. So I look forward to meeting you in person.
Indeed. Take care. Have a great day.
Will do. Bye-bye.
Bye.